and welcome to The Geek Night In. This is an hour-long podcast of general geeky discussions about anything from TV to books to, I guess it could be sport or music or anything that anyone likes to geek out about. I'm going to introduce everyone that we've got on the podcast this week. I'm Laura. I'm on Twitter at LauraKBuzz, and I like to write about video games and music, and I like some good films and anime and things, and I just like a general spattering of lots of different geeky things. I'm sure there's a dozen different geeky topics I've missed out there, but yeah, I like geek stuff. Right, who should we start with? Gemma, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself? We've got Gemma on the podcast.
Hello, my name is Gemma Thompson. I'm Raygun Goth on Twitter. I'm an independent game designer from the UK, currently living in Stockholm. And yeah, I guess my geeky fandoms are spread pretty wide. Sonic the Hedgehog, Ghost in the Shell, Ian M. Banks in particular. I make games and also spend a bizarre amount of time exploring tube stations and things like that, because I'm just strange like that.
Nothing is strange, everything is wonderful. Be proud of your geeky love of tube stations. Right, next up we've got Byron. Do you want to tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm the one dying currently. Byron Axon Joes. My name is Zytex on Twitter. Did you say geek or Greek?
I meant geek, but if I said Greek, you can talk about Greek things you like if you want.
That's cool. I like making games. I hate Brussels sprouts and peas. I love sci-fi. I'm into everything, really. Music. I mean, making music. Okay, don't listen to music. Don't try and make me guess what music's made by. And I can't hear myself at the moment because I've got these headphones
That's
on.
That's okay. I'm really sorry that we've made you put headphones on, but it's for the good of the listeners.
I feel like a disembodied head floating around.
That's fine. For all that the listeners can tell, you are a disembodied head, and I think that needs to become podcast canon as soon as possible.
You made me laugh.
I'm very sorry. We've made someone that's ill laugh and possibly caused him pain. I'm really sorry.
See, it's catching already.
Exactly. On that note, let's move on to the next ill person we have on the podcast this week. Tilly, tell us about yourself.
I feel really awkward now because, like, everyone's got gaming things and I don't even play games. So.
That's fine. That's why we have you in here. We need someone to be like, ugh, games are bad.
Yeah, I'm not in the minority.
I'm into Star Wars, Star Trek, lots of sci-fi things, high fantasy as well, Lord of the Rings, Aragon, Game of Thrones, stuff like that. Lots of books, some TV shows, lots of TV shows.
You read more books than anyone I've ever met, if I'm honest. You are a bookworm.
I did have to clean out all the books in my room today, and they kind of fell on someone. And
did they survive? Because knowing how many books you have, I'd be surprised if anyone survived being crushed by your book collection.
She did. She survived. But she did bruise herself quite badly.
That would have maybe been an awkward question to ask if you turn around and be like, oh yeah, she did die. I've done hiding the body though, so it's okay. And last up, we've got Kate. Why don't you tell us about you and geeky things and stuff?
Me and geeky things and stuff. Well, my name is Kate. I'm on Twitter under the username @whatkatie_did. There is somebody with just @whatkatiedid, and they've never tweeted as always, and they're totally they're not on Twitter, but they have my proper username, which is a shame.
I will share your sympathies right there. From we still have indie_haven, even after like. Everything that we have done to be an awesome site. Indie Haven has only tweeted once, 3.5 years ago, to tweet that they had a website coming out soon.
Oh, well,
we are still fighting for that one. But, sorry, I interrupted you there. What sort of geeky stuff do you like?
I'm not really into games as some of the other people are. I had an N64 when everybody was getting PlayStation 3s and Xboxes, and I was quite behind the times. But I used to play Perfect Dark with my sister quite a lot. And so not really into gaming so much, but books, film is my specialty. Oh, that's... Sorry. That is so dramatic. That's my boyfriend is sat in the background at the moment and his phone just went off. I apologize for that.
That's fine. I think it's a good moment to just mention, hooray Tilly, you're not the only person that doesn't like games.
Yeah, no, I'm more into books than games, I would say, but my main thing that I'm into is films and television at the moment. Been watching, rewatching Game of Thrones. I'm starting watching Battlestar Galactica. I'm on series 2, which is obviously a series from the past, as it were. And I'm starting reading more. I got a Kindle for Christmas and I've read like 3 times as much as I used to. I've started Game of Thrones and I've been reading lots of high fantasy, so basically me and Tilly are best friends and you can all go away now.
Hooray. I think
we'll break off and make our own podcast.
That's fine.
Yay, can
I come join the Books and High Fantasy podcast, because it sounds like a really nice place to be. Forget this podcast we're setting up, get rid of Gemma and Byron. I want to go join your podcast.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. I've just other thing, I've just Gemma, started reading comics. I've just started reading tube stations and Miss Marvel stuff. I also love tube stations, but not by choice. I live in East London, which means if you want to get anything, you have to get out of East London. So tubes are kind of my involuntary specialty as well.
Just a slightly exciting side note. I haven't heard this yet, but Aisling Canton Lingmops on Twitter.
Aisling.
She, the person who made the intro tune for the Indie Haven podcast, has just sent me the theme tune for this podcast, which I have not yet heard.
Oh, we have a theme tune,
and I've not heard it yet, but I'm very excited because she's literally just sent it. So,
can we hear it?
I'm imagining the Batman theme.
Shall I try and work out a way to live on the podcast? Actually, how's about this? I will put the podcast theme tune at this point in the podcast, and you know, just overlay it so we can all talk about it in a second after we've heard it. So. I will do some editing wizardry, and there will be a theme tune in here.
Yay!
That's amazing.
That's exciting.
Oh, it's really chilled.
Oh, this is amazing. Chilled
jazz. This is wonderful. I love this.
I want to hear it.
I'm in Mavis Beacon's typing school.
Yeah, it's kind of synthy, nerdy, little bit video gamey, smooth jazz.
Can someone sing it?
Oh, okay. Do you want me to try and sing this?
Yeah, sing it.
Bum 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 da 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 da.
That was amazing.
I'm so sorry, I'm just gonna
play it.
Can you do that again?
I am never doing that again. Hello everyone, Laura here. This is the part in the pilot of our podcast where my singing was so bad that it broke our recording program. As of next week, we're going to do what I do with most of my podcasts, and we hadn't yet set up, which is having multiple people record for these kind of eventualities. So unfortunately, there's about half an hour here that should have been in the podcast that we lost. I'm really sorry. It won't happen when we hit episode 1 properly next week, but I'm going to edit it around a little bit so that you can still jump in and hear the half an hour once we were sort of going in the conversation, and hopefully, as it's a pilot, it'll still give you an idea of the sort of thing we want to do with the podcast. So I do apologise that episode 1 misses a big chunk, but you know, let's roll with it and do the best we can. Hope you still enjoy it, and very sorry for the problems.
So, Laura, when are you getting your Mac again?
Are you on your tiny little netbook?
No, I'm not, but I think we may have just lost about half an hour of that. So
I don't know, have any of you got any good cures that actually work for colds at all?
Have you had a
martini? Worked quite well.
Oh, God.
You said a martini?
It cured the symptoms.
I was going to suggest warm lemonade. That's no, my favourite. I like warm lemonade.
I thought warm lemonade was for tummy ache.
That's for everything.
I think feeling sorry for yourself is 100%. Oh, that's a good topic, actually. Best movies and stuff to watch while you're sick.
Star Trek.
Star Trek is your answer to everything.
For me, it's always my favourite. Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Yes.
I never saw that film. I was under the impression it was terrible.
It's my all-time favourite film. Admittedly, disclaimer, my username is Raygun Goth. I like Rayguns. This film has it, Rayguns and robots and that sort of thing in abundance. But it's just pure pulpy sci-fi goodness.
I did actually watch a very weird film. I didn't realise I was going to enjoy it when we were... Particularly because Susan's also got the cold. And we were both like going, oh, we're both dying. What should we watch? I don't know. Netflix, bang, bang. Pick a random film. And it was called Rapture Palooza. And it's
never
a really...
It.
It's a kind of like an indie film. And it's just hilarious with the rapture happens. And a bunch of people left on the earth. They have to fight the Antichrist. But they've got these locusts that go up to you and say, punish, punish, suffer. It's hilarious.
This sounds amazing. I think my favourite film to watch when I'm sick is my favourite film of all time, A Matter of Life and Death, which is filmed in like 1946 or something ridiculous. It's a really old film.
That's...
Matter of Life and Death when you got a cold. That's like really cheery.
It's a film about this... it's like just after the war finished. It's got a very young David Niven in it. And he's a World War II pilot and he's about to crash his plane and he knows that he's kind of on his way out. And the woman he's speaking to, who like from the... sort of air wardens in England, they fall in love in sort of the last 5 minutes of his life. He crashes his plane and the guy who's supposed to take him to heaven is late, so he survives. And then the people from heaven come down and say, you know, you're dead, you're supposed to be dead. And he has to argue in a heavenly court his case for staying alive because he's fallen in love. And it is such a beautiful, touching film. I would recommend it to anyone. The guys,
what film did you say this was?
A Matter of Life and Death.
Oh,
one of the guys who directed it, Michael Powell, has the award at Edinburgh Film Festival. So, like, he's made loads of films, him and Eric Pressburger. But it's such a beautiful film, and I always watch it when I'm sick.
Yeah, all right.
Also, Stardust.
Oh yeah,
Stardust is good.
Oh, it's such an underrated film.
Yeah,
I love it.
Admittedly, I'm sort of trying to educate myself in terms of Neil Gaiman stuff, and Stardust is one of the early ones, I think, that I actually managed to track down and watch.
Well, the woman who, Jane Goldman, I think produced it or wrote it, who's Jonathan Ross's wife, who's really into comics and sci-fi, I think she did a really good job of the adaptation.
Yeah, I think that's where I first heard of it, yeah.
My answer's not a film, it's a TV show. When I'm feeling sick, I like to watch Death Note. I don't know what it is about that show, but it just I really like it, and it makes me feel happier watching people get murdered with heart attacks.
Yeah,
I have to get into it because a friend of mine cosplays for like MTM Expo and stuff with the full Death Note latex mask and things, and just so all I've seen of it is the characters. They're what's drawing me in at the moment.
Do they do the one with the blue face or the white face?
The white face.
Okay, so that would be Rem, I'm guessing, probably. But, it's such a good show. I love Death Note.
I've not seen it in ages, but it turns out my new housemate is really into Death Note. So I'll probably be watching
Note fan.
It. Yeah.
Hooray!
Never seen
anime in general as well, but Death Note's what I'm into. So
Death Note is the one anime that I convinced my mum to watch and that she really enjoyed.
That's really cute. It's so hard getting your mum. Me and my sister made my mum watch Game of Thrones, and through the sex scenes, we just kind of sat there like, this is so awkward. But then she kind of lost interest on that. She likes Homeland, and she went to like Sean Bean conventions when she was younger because she loved Sharp.
I got my mum to watch Death Note based on the premise where I was like, hey, there's this person who has the ability to kill people as and when he sees fit, and it's a detective story about someone trying to track him down. It's these two people doing a sort of cat and mouse, trying to catch each other or not get caught. And she got sold on it on the sort of detective chase sort of angle of it, and she ended up watching most of the series and really enjoying it, and we got into some really nice conversations about the morality of killing evil people.
But did she ever go to a Sean Bean convention?
No, she didn't.
Well, then my mum went. Sorry.
Fair enough.
I like that you can drill it down to that sort of really approachable premise, because that sort of plotline sounds like it could be in any other medium, i.e. something they would have watched before. I've always thought the same sort of thing would apply if I tried to convince someone to watch Cowboy Bebop, because that would be my go-to if I wanted to get somebody into anime, Cowboy Bebop.
Well,
and again, the same sort of structure seems like a good sell.
Cowboy Bebop's not too hard a one to sell, because you can sell it as like, okay, it's not something you have to commit to the whole series, because like, it's mainly a lot of standalone stories about this group of people that go off and do these sort of a very sort of western cowboy style stories, and then just kind of sell them on the kind of characters on it. So again, I think it's easier if you can kind of find a way to distill it like that. That's not, hey, watch this Japanese cartoon that I watch, which is
the flip side.
I would guess it's the only Japanese cartoon I've seen. The only one.
Oh, I used to watch, oh my god, what was it called?
For a sec, I'm going to guess that it's Yu-Gi-Oh.
No,
it wasn't. It was called, like, Jackie Chan Adventures.
Oh god!
And there was a guy in it who was like, had really white hair, and he used to say, like, in this really creepy voice, like, one more thing! In this really high-pitched voice. And we used to say it to each other all the time. And I'm not, that's my only recollection of it.
You're making me think of really bad Cartoon Network shows now.
Had the Cartoon Network. We were really poor. We never had, like, any Sky. We never had, we had, like, everything was really late. So we have really weird, disjointed memories of childhood.
We had Cartoon Network briefly, and I remember a show called Shaolin Showdown, and it was the worst thing ever.
No, shut your face. I love Shaolin Showdown.
Okay, tell us all why Shaolin Showdown is amazing. We will give you your chance to do this, and I won't interrupt.
I haven't watched it in a while, so I can't remember exactly what it's about, but it's about, like, gathering items that have certain powers, like the Fist of Tebigong makes you really strong and stuff like that.
The Tangled Web Comb, I think it was.
Yes,
these crazy vines.
Yeah.
I remember it being really cheesy. I remember the premise being good. And I
it is really cheesy, like, but that doesn't make it bad.
I like the idea of some of the stuff. Like,
if
there was
being
like
cheesy made things bad, you'd be awful.
I remember there were like three items you could collect together. Like, there was a helmet, some boots, and a chest piece that, like, if you got them all, it did something special.
Dressed you, surely. It sounds like just clothes. Like, the special thing is that you're not naked.
That's the opposite. Wow, loot bonus. But, yeah.
Oh, God.
Nothing will beat Neopets, let's be honest.
I was slightly too old for Neopets at the time.
Who here can say truly that they have never had a Neopets account?
I've never had a Neopets account.
Well, get out! You shouldn't be running this podcast. You did nothing.
I have to ask what is Neopets, so probably...
What?! No! Oh, Neopets is amazing. It's just like something that you... It's like a game when you have a pet and you have to earn points. Oh, I can't believe you don't know what Neopets is. You all disgust me.
I got properly obsessed with Neopets for quite a few years.
Good. Yes, this is cementing the fact that we should have a separate podcast.
Yeah, I was 12 years old, the better two. At the time it came out, I think I was 12 years old, and I was looking at it wondering what the children were doing. I was a bit too old for it.
Was it the moshy monsters of your day?
Looks like it.
Kind of, except ours didn't move.
Neopets is amazing, and all of you are wrong.
I didn't know that that moshy monsters didn't move. You've enlightened me today.
I'm sure Moshi Monsters move.
Well,
1989.
I'm going to go side topic to something that I stalled to not bring up because Tilly wasn't here, and that I wanted to bring up earlier when we were talking about films and adaptations and things. I really like the book The Fault in Our Stars, and there's a trailer for the film now.
It's just come out.
And the trailer looks really awesome, and I'm really optimistic for the film. Which I never thought the film would happen, so I'm very optimistic.
How much is the Indian food?
About 10 quid.
It's £23.
I thought that was related to what I was saying. I was very confused.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really excited about this. It's going to be the best ever.
That's fine. This is why our podcast is set up the way it is. This is lots of geeky people talking in an informal way.
Like I'm on a tour bus eating curry.
Yes, that kind of informal.
Thank you.
Yes, Tilly, thoughts? The Fault in Our Stars.
I really liked it. Like, pretty much everything in it was like directly quoted from the book, so it looks like it's going to be just as much of a, you know, gut punch as the book was.
I'm really hoping that it doesn't fall into problems by being that closely tied, because that's a little bit of a worry I have. Is are you laughing at us or at your curry?
I'm so sorry, the dog just farted and my boyfriend's like, oh, it smells.
Anyway.
Sorry.
What's it about?
It's about a girl who has cancer, and it's, I'm not going to describe this very well. Tilly, you describe her.
Well, yeah, it's about two teenagers who have cancer, but it manages to avoid all the cliches about, you know, having cancer, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's very good at not making it a really sad, mopey film. Or going the other way and being like a super feel-good, hey, we're going to get over this and everything's happy. It's like, it's very direct and frank about cancer, but it also doesn't wallow in it.
And yeah, it's like, this is a thing that happened and now we're moving on.
And it's like this super amazing love story, and like the characters are so brilliant. Like,
this does not sound like that kind of film.
It is the emotional train wreck that ruined my heart forever.
I kind of want to say something here, but I think I'll get lynched if I do.
Go on.
I can't. Because I'll get lynched more. I can't!
You've got to say it now you've brought that up.
Go on.
I think, like, it doesn't sound like my kind of film. Because A, I hate love stories and romance books. B, I've witnessed somebody die of cancer, and the only thing I can say about it is pain. Everything is pain. There is no love, there is no inspiration, it's just pain.
The book also does actually deal with that really well.
It's just, that's literally all it is.
All the time.
It's pain. But also John Green, I mean, I've seen clippets of his... Snippets? I've seen clippets of his writing. That sounds like a disease.
You've seen clips and snippets. It's an absurd clippets.
Of his writing. And he seems like a very exceptionally talented writer. But there's an account on Twitter called Biblio Days who does kind of Twitter reviews and stuff. And they raise some really interesting points about he, A, kind of shuns criticism. There's a thing, if people criticise, he's kind of like, oh, they read it wrong. But also he gets a lot of credit in a sort of Joss Whedon way for how he writes such amazing women and he's such a feminist without actually doing much behind it. He just has this amazing reputation for being incredibly egalitarian in his writing with nothing really to back it up.
It doesn't really seem
like my kind of thing.
I will say from the fact that I've read the book and you haven't read it.
Yes, this is true.
I can see why people might say that. I think that his characters are some of the most well-written characters I've ever read. Like, there's a lot of his characters that subvert a lot of expectations and tropes in a way that had me really... like, and are written in such an unexpected way that I found myself really connecting to them and, like, them being really memorable to me.
Well, I hope that if... Go on.
It depends on which book you read, because The Fault in Our Stars definitely... you know, the characters are amazing and, you know, like the female character is really well-rounded and well-developed. However, then on the other side, you have an abundance of Catherines.
Oh, God, no, not that book. Yeah, some of his books are absolute...
Catherine.
Yeah, an abundance of Catherines.
It's a book I really don't like that he wrote that's about someone that... He dates a lot of Catherines, and that's...
Yeah, he only dates Catherines.
He only dates people called Catherine, and it's a really not a good book.
Like, that sounds awful.
His two standouts, where he actually like wrote really good characters and some really good stories and premises, were The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns.
Looking for Alaska was quite good as well.
It was quite good, but... like
I think there was a lot of Manic Pixie Dream Girl stuff in it.
Oh, God, but, yeah. And like that turned me off quite a bit. Like, It's one of the ones that, like, I can see what he was going for, but I never really connected to any of the characters in it.
It shows that he's learning, because The Fault in Our Stars is, you know, the latest one he's written, and it's one of the best. And I think Paper Towns came out before that, and again, that's another good one.
I think my problem with him is more to do with his fan base, who are very much like, oh my god, John Green is amazing, he's the best, he's so amazing, and as a result, they kind of overlook some of maybe the problematic issues in his writing, as we discussed. Like, you can love a film and still be like, this is kind of problematic, whereas the fandom aspect of things with people like John Green is, oh my god, this is amazing, and if you don't think it's amazing, then you're wrong.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with most fandoms, though, and like, I've found the Sherlock fandom as well.
Yes, definitely.
Like,
mention any of the problems in Sherlock and you pretty much get murdered.
The worst, mm-hmm. the worst fandom for that by a long, long way is, what's it called?
Homestuck?
Yes, Homestuck. I was having a mental
I don't understand what Homestuck is.
Me neither. Homestuck, I know the fans are awful.
Homestuck is a webcomic that does a lot of video game humour. Like, a lot of the way that it's visually set up is to do with, like, it's set in an online game that multiple people play, and it's set up so that, like, you've got a lot of...
Sorry, the dog is begging, sorry.
Yeah. Bits of the conversation are told through, like, IM conversations and stuff like that, and it's a comic set in an MMO that's told with a lot of video game humour. But the fan base is incredibly obnoxious, and it really turned me off of the series, because I can't talk to people about my love of Homestuck, because most of the people that love Homestuck, like, a lot of them are really obnoxious, and it makes it really hard to have to talk to people, which is what I like most about the things I like, is getting to talk to people about them.
Not famously, I wish it was famously. I got kicked out of the Sherlock fandom.
No, really?
Like, kicked out of the whole fandom?
Yeah, they've said they don't want... Sorry, I'm eating the salad at the moment.
Was there an official meeting about this?
I wouldn't be surprised. Basically, what happened was Amanda Abington, who played... Well, she didn't play her at the time, but who played Mary Morstan and is Martin Freeman's wife, said, oh, how can people be so horrible to Stephen Moffat? You can't hate Stephen Moffat and like the show. And I said, well, of course you can. You know, you should criticise media producers. You know, you can dislike the producer of a media and like the show.
You should hold them to a higher standard regardless of the output they're doing.
And this whole Twitter conversation, she called me like an idiot, and this whole Twitter conversation went viral and it went all over Tumblr. And a really lovely Tumblr user called Geo the Bio, who does amazing art, like beautiful, beautiful cartoons, really, really funny stuff. And she tweeted, she reblogged the screenshot of the Twitter and put, what an idiot. And I was like, I am broken.
Oh, no.
Let's hope that they were referring to the other person, not to you.
No, they weren't. As a result, I've never been back.
That's fine. To be fair, like, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to be welcome at Reginald D. Hunter's shows ever now.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got into a big Twitter fight. That was fun.
You can judge people by the calibre of their enemies, I think.
The long story short of, like, my fight with Reginald D. Hunter was someone walked out of one of his shows and commented on his official Facebook page to say, hey, I walked out of one of your shows because there was a sexist joke that, like, made me really uncomfortable, and as such, like, nothing personal, but I walked out and I won't be seeing your shows again. And he wrote this huge diatribe to his fans about... He referred to her as Miss Chastity Fearbucket, and he...
Imagine if that had been her actual name. That would have been embarrassing.
He described her as the elusive rape foot at one point, and...
Oh, my God.
Basically, he did this huge thing about, like, basically, like, my fan base, you should all go hate her because she is horrible and mean. And I posted on Twitter stupidly. I was like, hey, she's getting loads of hate mail now on Twitter and Facebook and things because you directly linked to her and made this whole huge, like, rant at her. Do you not think that it would be better to tell your fans, hey, please don't send her death and rape threats, than it would to egg them on? And we got into a huge fight about that, and that was fun.
The egos of men.
He pulled out every... Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
He pulled out every trick in the book to try and derail the conversation when we were fighting. I was just like, no.
Speaking of derailing the conversation, I have a question.
What's your question?
Somebody just asked, do you think love in games suffers because having an NPC for you is less chaotic set of mechanics than in real life?
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. I just had to derail it. It was ironic.
You have fulfilled your purpose.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll jump to a different question from Twitter. Thomas Rakowitz wants to know, can this please be the year that mechs make a comeback? Because mechs are awesome.
Are we supposed to be live tweeting this?
I don't think so. No, I tweeted out a question from our...
Oh, I'm just eating Indian food.
No.
Can I talk to you in a bit?
And it will come across really
Hello?
Hello.
About Mexicans, because it's a bit racist, wasn't it?
Anyway, mechs. Can mechs make a comeback?
What is mechs?
Big robots, like the ones in Pacific Rim.
Oh, not Mexicans.
Not Mexicans. Sorry, it took me a second to work out that by Mex you thought I meant Mexicans. No. Can big giant hulking robots make a comeback this year? Because giant hulking robots are awesome.
Probably. From what I've witnessed, the reaction to Pacific Rim, they would have a welcome home.
Cylons. That's all I'm saying. Cylons.
See, after Pacific Rim, I fully expect absolutely everything to have robots in it in the next year. Just
they'll be the new zombies.
You know.
I love zombies. Not personally. I mean, I'm not friends with them, but you know, like,
oh,
I love
zombies now.
Oh, God. Have any of you seen that? What's that song called? That it's stuck in my head at the second. There's an animated video to it, and it's about someone that he's a zombie on a online dating website.
That's cute.
And trying to get someone to fall in love with him, and it's every so often he's like, "I want to eat your brains," and it's lovely.
There's a really good short film about zombies called Cargo. It was entered in if you type in on YouTube Cargo Australian Film Festival, it comes up, and it's about this guy. He gets bitten. It's a zombie apocalypse. He gets bitten by his wife, and he knows he's going to turn into a zombie. But they have an infant baby, and so he puts the baby on his back, and he's trying to basically. The film is about him trying to get away and find other humans for his baby to live with before he turns into a zombie. And I'm actually choking up just thinking about it. So if you ever get a chance to watch that,
it's
beautiful.
Really sad.
Aww. It's very, very. It's only about 10 minutes long. It's a short film. It's beautiful.
I found the song I was looking for. It was by a band called Your Favourite Martian, and the song.
Are you going to sing it?
Zombie love song. I can try and sing part. I will find a good part to sing.
Every week, Laura karaoke.
Oh God, I've already sung our theme tune badly. What song do you want? Okay. Are we ready for
requests? Apparently.
Are we ready for me to sing a song about part of a song about zombies?
Yeah.
Are you aware that Skype did crash last time you tried this? Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll see if it survives.
Not passing a judgment call or anything, you know?
Yeah, actually. For the fact that, like, I will apologise now, there is a section of this podcast that is missing, that, like, I will insert a thing to tell you where that is. But it broke because I sang, and I broke the podcast. So I'm going to try singing again and hopefully not break the podcast. I'll chase you through the yard and all through the house into the dark. Oh, I want to steal your heart. And eat your brains. See, it's lovely, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
It sounds good. It's
really sweet in its own creepy way. Like, there's lines like, where is it? If my heart were still beating, it would beat for you. See, that's kind of sweet, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, it's creepy and endearing on the same level that the Octodad theme seemed to be as well.
The Octodad theme, where it is just, yeah, Octodad, nobody suspects a thing, even though he's an alien in a three-piece suit.
It's like,
did I say he's an alien? He's an octopus. Hello, everyone. It's me, Laura, again. There seems to be a curse with me singing on this podcast. The second time I sang, the podcast decided to break again. Again, it was my recorder. We've gone in and we've worked out what the issue was. But because of this, we don't have an outro because my recorder on my computer broke. I do apologise. In future, we tried to record an outro, and we have an outro set. So, again, take this week's episode with a pinch of salt. We were sorting out tech issues, but, you know, hey, it's a pilot episode. I really hope you enjoyed what you heard. And, you know, if you enjoy the sort of topics and the way we were talking about things here, tune in next week for episode 1 because, you know, it's going to be more polished than this and it's going to be wonderful and you're all going to love it. So hooray, thank you everyone, and see you next week. Bye.